I'm Declan Burke, and welcome to The Sit Down, the podcast that explores the mindsets, motivations, and opinions of the brands, agencies, rights holders, and elite talent working with Sport & Horse. Today's guest, Mohammed Azmi, is the founder of exciting clothing brand Gymzig that uses AI to ensure a great fit for people of all shapes and sizes. Mohammed talks to me about why he started his own company, what the brand values are, his aims and aspirations, and why using sports people to promote the brand is a perfect fit. Enjoy. Hi, Mohammed. How are you? It's good to talk to you today.
Hi, Declan. Good to speak to you. We've looked forward to this for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, of course, for the listeners, they don't know that you and I have been talking quite a bit.
Yes.
And of course, you're a Sport & Horse client. So let's start with who you are. Like, where are you from?
So, I mean, the brand, I mean, for us, for me in general, live in pretty close to London, near West London.
Okay.
And that's where we kind of originated, been there for a while. And that's where we kind of started the brand. So, yeah, it's quite an exciting place, very busy.
Yeah, so, absolutely. London's a great place. Yeah, I spent a decade working for two firms in the city, so I was back and forth a lot, yeah?
Yeah, hectic.
Oh, yeah, mad, but good mad.
Yeah.
So we're Sport & Horse, obviously. So we connect brands with athletes, essentially. So the first question I'd always ask somebody on the brand side is, have you yourself partook in sport or do you do sport?
Yeah, so I mean, I play a bit of football here and there. Now, obviously, when I was younger, I used to play a little bit more at school. Now, it's more just five-a-side whenever you kind of get a chance. I've actually done a lot of MMA for the last 3-4 years.
Okay.
And I started when I was about 16 and got injured a bit, so I've been a bit more on and off but while I've been developing the brand. But 100%, yeah, sport's been my passion, to be honest. I watch a lot of snooker, pool-based sports as well, tennis. So I'm very athletic in general. I like to just run around.
That's pretty cool. And yeah, well, if you're going to try and follow all those sports as well, how have you got time to build a business?
Listen to radio at the same time as doing some work, and you've got to multitask a lot. Even right now, the snooker's on, for example. I've been filming this at this time, and it's like, all right, cool, just watch that on the side. You can hear what's going on, but make sure you're on your laptop doing your work and everything as well.
Absolutely. So on the snooker front, a great Irish snooker player, Ken Doherty, is on our platform. Yeah. So he's such a lovely fella.
Yeah.
I actually spent, would have been when I was quite a bit younger, but around 8 to 12 years old, I spent a huge amount of time in snooker halls. Yeah. Back then, I was actually handy enough with the cue. Now I'm totally useless.
Yeah, to be fair, when I was younger, I was very handy with the cue. I had a pool table and everything, because I was doing quite well. But around here, a lot of the snooker halls are quite hard to find because it's such a tight area. And if you have to go after school, and then if you're not able to get there close enough, being picked up after school, it's always a bit of a headache. Sometimes it can be. So yeah, I never took it as far as I wanted to, but I was always an avid watcher of many sports, to be honest.
It's always fun to try as well, I think. Within reason, the Red Bull Extreme Diving, that's not for me.
Yeah. Maybe not that one, yeah.
Okay, so I'm talking to you basically because you've started this really exciting brand, Gymzig. Now, before we get into about the brand, why don't we just explore a little bit why anybody who's sane would consider starting their own company and trying to build a brand from scratch? What was the passion or what was the little ignite? What made you do that?
Well, I mean, yeah, obviously, if you look at sportswear, gymwear, anything like that, it's probably one of the most crowded atmospheres in all of industries, right? So it's very hard to get into. But we looked at it and I said, there's something that all of them are not offering. So how about I try aim for that niche? You know? And I thought clothing can be innovated in many ways anyway. So that's one thing that is always going to be revolutionary in some sort of way. Mm-hmm. But the fact that the sizes thing, no one can really always place their size in such a technological world, when that's probably one of the harder things to do in life. You know, you can go online and make an account so fast on something, but you can't sit down and get your exact size for a long time sometimes. And that's where we kind of brought the passion to say, okay, this is the idea I have. Let's see how we can start this up.
So my understanding, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is essentially, certainly among the brands which I've talked to or seen, you're probably the most innovative that we've come across in terms of sizing. So as distinct from small, medium, large, or extra small, medium, large, extra large, etc., you've got a much more complex in terms of the background, shall I say, but maybe a better fit overall solution for everybody, right? All shapes and sizes.
All shapes and sizes, yeah, 100%. Because I mean, I know a lot of people that, for example, someone's in between a small and a medium, and neither of them ever find that perfect fit. They're just like, oh, I wear a medium because it's a bit bigger, but it doesn't necessarily fit me as good as a small does around certain areas and my arms or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I wish that was like that. So because we've narrowed down all of these to very small increments, it's made it much easier for people to find their pretty much exact fit that they want. You can go to a tailor anywhere in the country, I guess, right? but that'll cost you maybe £100 and it'll take 3-4 weeks to make it and bring it back to you. The whole point is that it's a normal price of a product and it's delivered next day if you order the next day delivery, or 2 days maximum if you get the 2 day delivery, which is the other option.
That's super impressive, particularly, I mean, in a pure business context for a moment. I mean, the speed at which you can take the order, manufacture, or you hold a lot of stock, one or the other, either way, it's still impressive. It's great customer service, basically.
That's the idea, yeah. The customer service, we want it to be very high, because I know a lot of sportswear brands don't really focus that much on customer service. It's not about the customer, it's about how much money can we make. And for us, if the customer's happy with the fit, they're going to come back for more and more and understand what the products are about. And even if they say, oh, okay, that product's not how I wanted it, they can still say, okay, but I understand the concept behind this brand and it's somewhere I want to feel connected with. So we're starting to set up on our website a community as well, where you'll almost get a newsletter with workout plan, maybe a calisthenics plan, things like that. We can start to work out at home as well and feel more confident in yourself. So I think that's a key part of also the brand that we're trying to do. I mean, a lot of people do have communities, but they just send out a normal newsletter trying to sell your product. For us, it's a lot more about engaging with our community and making sure that they actually feel part of being fitter in general in the fitness industry.
And helping with the confidence. That's really nice. Thankfully, in today's world, we now talk about this thing called mental health, which when I was growing up didn't exist. Yeah.
Yes.
You know, it's progressing, but it's very nice for a brand, particularly such a young brand, to be starting really well and caring for its customers. So that leads in my head through to the whole notion of brand values. So when you're coming up with the Gymzig brand, what are the values that you thought were core to that?
I thought, look, it has to be on good quality. I thought, you know, even though every brand, when you're starting up, you may not exactly have the best product for the first, second batch. You're working on it. You're trying to improve. But as long as you are trying to improve and not just trying to get someone's money and just say it's not a good product, then, you know, you're on the way to success eventually. It may take, you know, a couple of batches or a little bit of tinkering with the samples, etc. But as long as you're high quality and you're trying to actually help the consumer, I think it's a really good approach. I mean, I think also the way we're doing the confidence thing, the brand values that we want to increase confidence. For example, if someone's a little bit like of my size, I was 6'3" when I was 16 and I was really slim and I didn't even have the confidence to go to the gym because I was just slim and I was like, it's not the place for me. So if I had a brand that was out there and I said, okay, I could find a slim fit t-shirt and I had a newsletter I could sign up to with a 1 week, or give me a bit of a workout plan, I knew what I was doing, rather than kind of, I know there's a lot of stuff online nowadays, but even that wasn't there maybe 10 years ago when I was around, but even still, it's just having that little bit of something to read while you're at the gym and feel like you can feel nice in your clothing, I think it's a massive confidence boost. And we also have the sustainability element of our brand that we are trying to slowly progress as well. I mean, all of our packaging basically is biodegradable. So within 18 months, if you put it in the trash, it just disintegrates into almost like nothing. It just disintegrates. So it's almost like taking up no space. And we're working on different innovative techniques to try and improve that packaging, keep it biodegradable, encourage people to put it into their compost heaps, etc. That's something we're really focusing on.
So pretty cool. So I guess summary in my head, we've got quality, we've got confidence, and we've got sustainability. Yeah. There are three mighty fine values. I mean, it's interesting, again, the age groups in which you target and what's important to different segments, I guess. So yeah, I think you're probably onto a winner there. I'm definitely not a young man anymore, but they appeal to me. And I know to my kids who are teenagers, basically, who are constantly lecturing me on how I'm wrong in life, those three values would definitely work for them as well.
And even one of them, you know, if someone's not confident just in their weight, that's the big one. And then, you know, anyone from any age group can technically feel that and therefore fit into that confidence element. I mean, a lot of people, sustainability, people are key about that from older age groups to younger age groups, you know, a lot of activists about it. So it's like you can feel very different in any certain way.
Absolutely. Okay, so we've got the values ticked. So then now in my head, I've got the gym bit I can probably guess. So the Zig, Gymzig. Where'd you come up with the name? What's behind the name?
Gym is obviously the brand part, yeah. So we thought, you know, if you're going to do a two-letter kind of combination, G and Z is quite unique at the moment. It's not really how any brands that are G and Z. And Zig just kind of flows off the tongue a little bit if you know what the actual brand is.
Yeah.
And I think Zig is an old Roman word for like a pair of conquerors type of thing, you know, like in Colosseums, a group of people. So it's about that strength kind of element. And I think also the logo, because what it is the G and the Z are in the actual logo. You can't notice until you actually look at it. And then you also have the strength element of someone doing a bicep kind of flex. So it's like that strength element that's coming through. So I think slowly those things as brand awareness kind of builds up. It's more of a name that will just flow off the tongue. Because I mean, a lot of brands have names that you don't necessarily be able to pronounce easily.
Yes.
As soon as they get well known, everyone knows that name because you just hear it, you know? So I think it's kind of like that. It's three letters. You can't be that hard to pronounce at the end of gym. Yeah. And a lot of it's kind of separated the word in some text or half space it. so people can understand, you know, the difference.
It does stand out. I think you're right. The Z and G kind of linked together is different. It's, I guess, a very important starting point, right? Because if your brand is or sounds generic and therefore could be any other brand, that's where, certainly in the early days, it's super important. So the Gymzig team, if we can get into that, yeah? Is the Gymzig team Muhammad or is there others?
So at the moment it's me, and obviously I freelance a lot of the more complicated parts that I can't do. I mean, I think it's a lot of the designing of the high quality products and things. I'm not a full-on designer. You know, I work here, I have a financial background. So I know a lot more about that side, but I know obviously what I wanted my products to be like and how I want to design it. And yeah, slowly we are trying to expand that level of sales and go into developing people into projects, sort of making this project more of a accessible to people as well, because we want people to join and actually feel like, okay, we're working hard to achieve something quite substantial in this industry.
Excellent stuff. Right. So I have to discipline myself now, because to me, that's a beautiful segue into how actually the use of the Sport & Horse platform can be useful to you, but we'll get there.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're going to stay focused at the moment. So, okay, so we're talking clothing, essentially, gym wear, right? So what are the core products at the moment and what are your plans for product range?
To be fair, because we have had to, like, I think like you alluded to earlier about, we've got to hold a lot of stock. I think in total we have 56 sizes. So obviously, wow. Yeah, so different types of sizes. So what it is, it's every height range from 5'1" to 6'7". So within every 2 to 3 inches is a new size in height. So that means that it fits your body height exactly as you want it. Uh-huh. And then within each of those heights, we have obviously a slim, extra slim, and a medium, and a larger and extra large type of version of it for the body shapes within that size. So therefore, you know, you'll fit pretty much everybody within it, but it means we hold a lot of stock. And we have muscle fits as well, actually, which is an interesting part that we haven't actually thought about. But yeah, we actually have the muscle fits because our algorithm can work out how muscly you are based on the data you input.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, you kind of select. If you know how muscly you are, you know, and we have pictures of different type of muscles where your muscles are larger, and you select it and it'll put the weight into that certain area depending on the size that you've chosen. So it can predict if you are muscle fit, you know, big arms, for example, slim waist, and give you a more tailored fit to that product. So there, we do hold a lot of stock. So that's one thing. So with the t-shirts, we have t-shirts, joggers, and hoodies. And then we have, I think, 3 of each product at the moment, and then a certain amount of each. So obviously, because we hold the stock, got quite a bit of it. And then our plans for the future are a lot of products in the pipeline, to be honest. Women's products is a big one that we want to have coming soon, especially men's shorts, tank tops, 3/4 sleeves, half zip sleeves as well. And the little zip ups with the ones that you kind of go to the gym in the slightly warm and slightly cold temperatures. All the plans in the future that we have.
So big range.
Yeah.
Now, here's a question. Caveat, I know nothing about the industry, right? But so if I'm in your shoes and I'm trying to figure out what next, so if I've got the hoodies, the joggers, and the t-shirts now, so what's my fourth product? How do you decide from that range? Do you talk to your customer base or market research, or how does that work?
Yeah, I mean, we've got a shop already on board selling our products, and they even said, look, this is for summer, because this was designed for our winter collection. We launched a little bit later than we planned, but it was just semi-designed for our winter collection. Now coming into summer, we have been told, look at shorts, tank tops. They're the ones that you want to get for men's. Women's, you want a kind of more loose crop top type of things and leggings and things like that. That's what they would tell us. And then the shorts especially are ones that a lot of people are asking about. So I feel like they're probably next on the agenda, because if people are asking for them, that's what they want next. You can tell, obviously, a t-shirt's a staple, and so is a hoodie, and so is joggers. But along with that, they want something a bit more designed for that, you know, atmosphere, the heat, for example, in the summer, or the ability for them to run around, or whatever they're planning to do with their summer beach, for example.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if all of those people who are asking you about shorts, I'm just being cheeky now, but could you say, listen, do you want to advance order a few pairs? Yeah,
and no, 100%. We have the pictures of them and the actual sample's fully complete. We don't want to say to someone, oh, here's a short, but you don't know what they're going to look like. We'd rather say to them, okay, this is what they're going to look like. Are you happy with that product? You know, so we're trying to get that going, and then hopefully have a summer launch for it. Or if it happens to be a bit later because of the way we've got the brand set up and we're still setting up, we're okay with it, but we want to make sure we do have the product. Obviously, there are a lot of varieties of t-shirts we can eventually you'd have as a brand, and hoodies and different types of materials. And it's all about the person finding their custom material they like. But if they also know the custom fit's going to be exactly perfect, a lot of people are much more willing to try that aspect of it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. So that's really interesting. You've mentioned basically you have an algorithm in the back which helps with the sizing, etc. So is technology an important part of your business?
I mean, to be honest, this technology is very new to the market. I think somebody who was interested in the brand sent me an article like a good 6 months ago, but saying that by the year 2030, this AI-based technology will be the main way of people buying clothes. Going to clothing shops necessarily be much less popular.
Okay.
And therefore, so we've jumped on this kind of much earlier than most brands have. I think a lot of bigger brands are starting to use this because for them, it's a little bit less, but we've developed it in a way where it fits into our custom sizing. They've only developed it into a way where, okay, you're putting your height and your weight and okay, you probably think we're a small, but we don't know for certain. We've gone and asked a couple more questions so that we can get the exact detail that we know about you to make sure that if you fit the exact product that we need. So I think, yeah, the technology is just a massive part of it. It's just that technology always, it could never be reliable in every single circumstance. We're always working on trying to improve it and make sure we have every algorithm as close as we can for a customer.
It's going to be a never-ending story as well, because with tech, you constantly need to innovate and stay on top of things.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. Right, so we'll go a bit more generic now, but again, linked to Gymzig as a business.
Yeah.
So you're obviously a guy who's come up with an idea. It's a good idea. You're up, you're running, you're income generating, you've got your site, you're using really innovative ways to go to market like Sportendoors. And you sound so relaxed when chatting. But like having started a few businesses myself, there are some days and some moments where you're pulling your hair out and you've got massive challenges. So what do you think has been the biggest hurdle or challenge that you've overcome so far?
A lot of the stock-based stuff, just because it's so complicated. Oh my God, they're going to have a lot of stock and so many sizes. What if the person who's meant to fit that size doesn't come along? But, you know, obviously, eventually, I think we just have to say, okay, we've invested in it. And as long as you start to build a customer base, somebody in that shape and size will be there. The fact that we've designed it for that shape and size, knowing that shape and sizes exist, even if it's more rare than someone who's, you know, 5'9" and medium build, we know that, you know, a taller, slimmer person will be there, a shorter, chubbier person will be there. You know, they'll all be available. It just, you have to build it to market. And I think, yeah, that's definitely led to some sleepless nights because you're thinking, have I invested in the wrong sizes? Do you think this size will sell more fast? But especially getting the stock as well. You know, a lot of organizational part from our warehouse as well. So that's always taken a lot of time with a physical product.
Yeah, I admire you, really. The sleepless nights is normal. So, having a few of them, it would just be strange.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so that's, let's say, a big challenge. And then obviously with challenges, there are successes as well. Yeah. And I think particularly when it's your own business and you're working so hard and you've had those sleepless nights, that when you get the success, like, I don't know, for example, possibly your first t-shirt being sold or your first product going out, there's an immense joy associated with that, isn't there? So what do you think are your top two so far? Yay moments. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely going live and knowing, okay, it's out there, you know, even the people you're trying to build the social media going viral, or even trying to post videos to say, look, this is what the company's about. We're just starting to advertise more like actual advertising based places. So that's very, even with Sportendoors, it's a recent acquisition, but we think it's a good one for us. And even just advertising normal ads and Facebook, Instagram, things like that. Or even digital billboards, things like that, because that's where I feel like people start to understand the idea. You know, when you ask them a rhetorical question, not being able to find your size, you know, a lot of people are then hooked. So I think there've been key moments, and also, you know, just to build the brand. I think we also have an expo coming up, which we're really excited about. So that's one future moment in Manchester. I think that'll be the Fit Expo. I think that's one of the UK's biggest fitness expos. And we've got a front stall as well, right at the front as you walk in, first stall. So we're actually very excited about that opportunity.
Expos can be great fun. Myself and Trevor, the other co-founder of Sportendoors, last, I think, November, were in Munich for a massive expo. And it was really all around sporting goods, clothing, etc. And it was in the Munich Messe, which is enormous. And it got down to, so we were there really looking, interested in finished product. But when it came to materials for manufacture of t-shirts and the like, or just sports goods of all types, it went down to the yarn. There were places where you could talk about the yarn and just the innovation around some of the materials. Mm-hmm. Was astounding. We only spent about 25 minutes in that enormous hall because it was less relevant to us from a work perspective, but it was definitely fascinating. It really is. So you're between the sizing and the materials and the everything, it's a lot to try and manage as one man. Yeah.
So yeah, trust me. Yeah, it is. And you're trying to always build the best innovative product as well. So knowing that you've got to invest in that technology to make sure that it has a future going forward, I think, yeah, it's definitely a stressful thing. But also, you know, knowing that there are good products on the market and your customers don't know about it yet, but you can bring it to them, is kind of a sense of accomplishment as well in your mind.
100%. And it helps keep you pushing through on the tough days. So actually, which leads straight into the whole question of, on those tough days, How do you keep yourself motivated? I can tell you about 6 answers I've been told, but after you've given me an answer yourself.
Yeah, well, you know what, me, sports actually, you know what, if I go for play football after I've been stressed out, I feel better just knowing that I've had a rush of adrenaline or something like that. I'm very motivationally based. Sometimes I listen to like a motivational video or a podcast or something like that, just to make sure that your mindset is focused, you know, because otherwise then you find sometimes get distracted or think, oh, this is bogging me down. But obviously time's going to pass whether you like it or not, right? So you may as well not waste it. And so for me, I feel like it's productive when I'm actually doing something active, or if I'm actually inputting some sort of knowledge into my mind to continue building, even if it's not going to impact me right there and then, it will have some benefit to me in the future where I may have avoided a more problematic situation because of my knowledge.
Right. So that's very interesting, because to me, that's ticking. It's ticking a physical box, a physical kind of fitness box. Yeah. As you said, the adrenaline, et cetera, that comes from that. But there's also a kind of a thinking box, right? I'd argue that to be an elite athlete, you really need obviously to work on the physical side of things, but also the mental side of things. And actually you're doing both there in order to continue to drive your business forward.
Yeah, using it not in a necessarily sport-based way, but obviously it works in a sport-based way as well. Because if you're not able to continue to keep control of your mind, that's where it's a really, you know, problematic situation. Even if you've got the most talent in the world, if you can't control yourself, you know, if you're too rash on a football pitch or you're going to get a red card, you're not going to be the best player. You can't be there for that long. So yeah, it's one of those ones you really have to focus on as well.
Absolutely. Okay, that's encouraging. So coming back to a business question maybe for a second, and again, it's assumptive on my behalf, but so you're based in the UK, which means your primary currency is Great British Pound Sterling, right? Yeah. And I'm assuming if you're buying material or et cetera, if you're dealing with currencies outside of just the British pound, I assume.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you've stock, then you could, in theory, have some form of currency exposure, right? So, I mean, is that a big deal or is that something you're looking towards the future? Would you consider maybe hedging, or what are your kind of notions around that?
Possibly. I think we have had to obviously switch currencies for a lot of products and things. Yeah. We've had to pay obviously the tax and things and customs and all these things that have come through in different currencies. So it has been complicated. I mean, a lot of companies are going to say, I think after a couple of times, they say they would rather do it on a credit type of base and then they pay as the products sort of come in, rather than having to take away from a brand, having to invest early. Those are completely different investment options that we're looking into as well. You know, definitely people to get involved with the brand and say, look, this is what I know I can do for this brand. What do you think of it as well? So we have different money-based exposures that we are planning, especially the euro as well, that we have very close to Europe, and our island as well use the euro. So that's definitely one that we want to say, okay, we're going to try and put that onto our brand, and trying to actually organize our delivery for Ireland at the moment, as we currently have the UK. So we're trying to get that into a level where we can get the Europe market a bit more saturated.
We're not going to go near Brexit, but it just occurred to me that that's where the issues arise from in that particular instance. Yeah. Product in and out. So long-term goal, right? So you're clearly smart, you're working hard, you're having success already. So where would you like to see it go? Do you want to see it so it becomes, you're driving a Ferrari and you've 1,000 people working for you, or do you want to have it bought?
For me, material wealth is not that important, but as long as I know I've done something for the people of the world, it feels a bit more beneficial to me. I mean, so yeah, if people working for me would be nice, me knowing, okay, exactly this is how I'm trying to take the brand. Do you offer something that will help me take this brand in that way? And, you know, you're kind of building yourself up with your skills and knowing that. And that's definitely somewhere I would like to go, build something big, even just sports-based ventures, even different types of ventures, always interesting to me in every way. So building up the brand, having a situation where people can say, look, this is the best product to go to in this market. You know what you're going to get. And a lot of brands, you know, we're going to get maybe good product quality, but the size thing, I think, is where the other question comes in. I think they're the two main questions. Is it good quality and will it fit me? Are usually the two questions I think everyone's that we've done market research on has said that's the first things they ask for in a product. And I feel like we're the only brand currently to have ticked both, knowing that we've seen in the UK or even Europe. I don't think even in the US this has been in the same way where you can get it developed this quick, and we have such a high level of stock, because obviously it's a risky strategy, because if you've got so much stock, a lot of people are like, well, you might not sell that stock. But if you want to be able to say to someone in the long term, we will have your size, come to us before you come to anyone else, because we can guarantee both of these things that you're asking the question to, I think it is a market that can definitely be explored in a lot of ways.
I'm a big guy on brand values. I mean, coming back to your brand values of basically, you know, quality, confidence and sustainability. In that confidence, you're helping bring confidence to your clients. I think it's really nice. And it's coming through in everything that you're saying, which also tells me that your brand values aren't just marketing, Muhammad, because some of them out there are, you know?
And the sustainability part, we've worked a long time trying to even just develop that, you know, make it, you know, cost a million more to have the packaging bags. We had to buy more in bulk. But we were like, okay, well, we want to have this as a brand value. So we're not going to just cut it short just because we feel like we're going to try and take it a bit too early or say we'll do it in the future. We'd rather do that. And obviously, even the products, we want to try and use, you know, organic based products, something we do have the plan to do.
Well, that's good. And you're clearly committed to that as well. And particularly in a startup, everything's pulling at you. So it can be really tough to stay true to those values. So the French would say chapeau. I'm married to a French woman, but bravo. I don't know. Like, well done. Keep it going.
Yeah.
So circling back to sport maybe for a minute. So you've mentioned a number of sports that you've done and you've kind of been a fan of as well. So would you have from your child or from now a sporting hero perhaps?
Well, I did like a lot of, you know, martial arts based stuff. I liked a lot of boxing, Mike Tyson. Yeah, it was very popular. I think I liked a lot of the styles of more modern day fighters as well. Canelo, very big fan. Even going back a bit of a while, watching a lot of the Muhammad Ali fights, they were very classical for me. I think if in football, you know, I think you've had a very good generation of footballers. Speed as well has been, I think Mbappe, I think, is very, very anticipated for the future.
There's actually a sport indoor story to do with Mbappe. We helped arrange something for him. It was very small. And you'd think that a guy of his stature and earning wouldn't have been particularly interested, but a thank you came back. Yeah. So he has manners. You'd think would be kind of normal, but believe it or not, with a lot of people in the world, expectations sometimes are they're just being busy. Yeah. Sometimes
yeah,
it's not
busy,
expectations,
or sometimes they
busy.
Just feel a bit too confident in themselves, so they don't actually appreciate what they have and things like that. So, yeah.
So not only is he lightning fast on the pitch and incredibly talented, he has manners too. So
that's always good to hear, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So we kind of touched on this and I might hazard a guess because it's how you possibly stay motivated. But aside from motivated and getting that adrenaline rush, you know, have you a favorite way to relax, whatever that might be?
Even me and relaxing, you never really get it, to be honest.
Yeah,
we just spending time, bit of sports, knowing what's going on, reading an article, you know, that kind of thing. And working, knowing that, you know, you've still got a bit to do. You know, it keeps you on your toes in a way as well, that you've got this to do, you've got this to do. So you feel kind of anticipated for what's coming next. It's definitely been a key motivator on keeping me focused.
So music's an interest. I always ask about music as well. Some sports people, for example, pre a competition or pre a match or whatever, etc. Let's say it's an afternoon kind of kickoff or event, whatever they're involved in. They'll have something maybe quite soothing in the morning, which keeps them in kind of a zen or peaceful kind of thing. And then closer to, they ramp it up. So they're getting more pumped up. Anything like that going on or not?
Well, I'm just more beats, really. Just like high beats and, you know, very exhilarating kind of things, maybe closer to a time. But yeah, in the morning of your soothing stuff, like just calming sounds, really. I don't that much lyrics. I don't know that much that I'm into. I just feel like, you know, once you hear something calm, keeps it much more calm around you rather than have to hear a lot of words and trying to understand what's going on. Because at that point, it's really a bit more complicated to understand, trying to not engage your brain as much at that point.
Yeah, it becomes a bit more like work, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
And then what's your favorite meal? If you were to pick a food, a meal, what would it be?
You know, I've always been slim, right? So for me, I've always loved like a chicken and pasta or like a steak and rice type of meal, because a bulking meal. But if I was to have to go for like a cheat meal, it'd be like, you know, like a burger, a pizza, something like that, right? Something a bit more extravagant with like, you know, a milkshake. Now for me, I think it's always try to be bulking up. And then because I just don't put on weight that easily, it's always hard for me to say, okay, you know, stop eating what this is and try and put something on that's a bit more delicate in the meal and a bit more like a pizza is a lot more carbohydrate based. And it's, you know, you're trying to find out what's best for you. For your body as well. So for me, I think I rarely do cheat meals, but I do them when I feel like, you know what, this is a day where I need to, because you just kind of feel like that's the right time to do it.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Similarly, I've never really put on much weight, but I'm now at an age where I need to watch what I eat a little bit more. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's, as you're older, that's always what happens, right? I'm waiting for that to kick in for a long time. It's never come for me yet. So
yeah. Long may that continue. Don't wish it too early. Yeah.
That's true.
You have enough on your plate already. And another question I always ask is around languages spoken, because of course I'm Irish, right? So I grew up with English as my native language, I guess, or my mother tongue, more or less. I've always struggled with other languages. Now I've lived in different places around the world, so I picked up bits of them, but I don't really speak anything fluently other than English. Linking back to the time when I used to work for the two UK companies, you know, inevitably you're in a room with a Norwegian guy and he speaks Norwegian and excellent English, and he speaks to the Swedish guy and the Swedish guy understands him and they speak, or whatever, or the German guy speaks German and English, or the French guy. And some of them speak more than two or three languages. And I used to live in East Asia for a while, and you get different languages there as well. And I've always been impressed by that. And I don't know, actually, I was going to say it's held me back in business a little bit, the fact that I haven't been multilingual in some capacity. I'm not so sure it has, but it's definitely made it more complex in one or two issues. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, obviously, English is my main language. I learned a little bit of French, so I have communicated in it, but not much. I've learned recently more trying to focus and learn on Arabic, because the Middle East, I think, is a very big, there's a lot of money there and a lot of countries that speak one language in a way, which then makes it a lot easier to actually communicate with them. So started doing a lot with practice for that. And I have had a bit of exposure to South Asian languages, especially when we were working with manufacturers. Some of them, for example, some of them come from China or Pakistan, were doing the actual yarn and things. I've had a bit of conversational language with them to understand, okay, this is what they mean and this is how they're trying to translate the quality of their product and what they're trying to say is how thick it is, etc. So I think, yeah, some of them could speak English as well, which is always good. But when they may use a word that may they don't know what the English is, and I could kind of understand what they mean by it, I think it definitely does help in that sense.
More just to cram into that head, though, with all the other challenges.
Yeah, exactly. You got to remember everything.
And I was kind of wondering, like, I mean, with Google Translate and the equivalents nowadays, I still think at the end of the day, we're still human. So I think technology can really assist us get better outcomes. But I still like the human bit.
Yeah, it can't do it for us completely. Yeah,
absolutely. So last question in relation to your interaction with Sport and Doris. I asked the team just to let me know how, I know you put up one opportunity on the platform.
Yeah.
And they were telling me that there was quite a lot of females who were interested as well, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, has that been interesting or have you always known? I mean, it's kind of like, absolutely. I mean, my son is a mad basketball fan, right? And he's constantly talking to me about the wingspan of guys versus their height and all the rest of it, et cetera. So, I mean, clearly from a sizing perspective, there's loads of different choices. And you mentioned, was it 56 different sizes?
Yeah, 56 like technically, yeah. And we have a lot of those in stock. Some of them we sold out of, but we're trying to get back. But, you know, some of them more range, that's more some of the wider sizes, because you only had one or two of maybe those products of, you know, someone who's 5'1" and really slim. That's quite a rare size to find for an adult male. But, you know, we realized some of the teenagers have bought that size. So we didn't actually think about that, especially from a children's perspective. We were thinking of that as a range, maybe a similar sort of idea. But for children, you know, as they go up in size from maybe like 4 to, you know, 15, having that size range. And then once you hit that, then you can hit the adult sizes. Because we start off 5'1", it's not massively tall, you know.
Yeah, exactly. But it makes perfect sense, actually, because, again, like, I've been coaching kids sport from 6 years old kids to 15, 16, 17 year olds, yeah? And it's very interesting because sometimes they grow kind of disproportionately. Like, you know, they might have a burst and it's mainly in their back or mainly in their legs. And then the rest of the body takes a while to catch up. It's not always in perfect proportion. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what a lot of people are saying, you know, especially when they're growing up, especially if they're a bit taller on the stomach or they know their legs are a bit longer, they'd go, okay, let's put my size into here and let's try this out and see if this fits. And a lot of people are saying, yeah, this just fits perfect, exactly as I want it. Now, obviously, the problem is, obviously, as you get taller, sometimes you're going to maybe go up another size, but that's normal, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, I also think that, I mean, coming back to another one of your values about giving confidence to people, particularly teenagers, there can be a lot of confidence things going on there. So
even a lot of people, you know, when playing sport, a lot of people are quite slim, you know, and you're just running around, you're just burning so many calories, especially when you're younger, you don't put on as much weight. So the fact that we have got the slim sizes as well, when people feel like, okay, this fits me quite nice and snug, I feel like I can run around and it's comfortable. The joggers, you know, people play football in them, slide tackle in them, they're more than happy to give it a go and play with those kind of clothes. So I think, yeah, it's definitely good, especially when someone normally, if I was wearing product when I played football, it was just a baggy flapping about kind of product and it wasn't particularly exciting to wear.
Absolutely. All right. Well, listen, I've thoroughly enjoyed our chat, Mohammed. For any of the listeners, obviously Jim Zig is a brand you should check out. Go Google it. And after this, I'll have some contact details up basically. So Mohammed, as you know, from having listened to him, is a lovely articulate fella who has excellent brand values and is working hard to achieve something really good. So do lend support for any athletes who are listening. Jim Zig are on the platform, so watch out for opportunities and you can have something which will fit you properly. Imagine.
Very rare these days, right?
Absolutely.
So yeah, if anyone wants to reach out and have a discussion about what possible capabilities that we have in our budget and things like that and what they can add to the brand if they want help with something, more than happy to, you know, to list ideas and have a conversation.
That's brilliant. Okay, listen, Mohammed, thank you very much and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much. Take care.
That's all for this episode. Thanks once again to Mohammed for giving us his time and sharing his views, and to everyone continuing to download and listen to The Sit Down. We truly appreciate your support. If you're interested in learning more about GymZig or seeing if they have a size that fits you, check out gymzig.co.uk. That's gymzyg.co.uk. Or reach out to us by email at hello@sportendorse.com or DM us via social media. Be sure to follow Sport Endorse on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn for all the latest updates. Until next time, take care and be relentless.